Excellent weather today. Highs of 19 degrees centigrade, lows of 12 degrees centigrade. A fine morning with some warm sunshine, although there could be some cloud and rain spreading by the end of the afternoon.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Luc Corradine. Je suis le music compositeur du le film No Panic with a Hint of Hysteria. Et vous écoutez Alex Levchuk et le Midweek Drivettes.
Merci beaucoup, Luc. Which actually is neatly put together because Luc serves as a part of a trilogy, really, a triumvirate of fine folk, all of whom have the connection Ilana Rain. Because Luc actually composed the music for a couple of Ilana's wonderful movies and is currently working with a whole variety of other things, etc. And, of course, Ilana was staying in Hawaii with the fabulous Buck and J-Ro. And, of course, it is P.F. Buck, not PJ Buck. Claire is taking responsibility for effectively pointing that out to us, Buck, because I would have been, again, mortified had you said, you've got the wrong consonant in again. Never mind.
Yeah, just Buck.
Buck will be fine. We'll move straight away, if we may, Buck, for the moment, to J-Ro. J-Ro, welcome to the programme. I gather you've listened to some of the product over the weeks and things. How is it sort of passed muster from your own point of view? Because we always like critical listener viewpoints on this line.
Well, I've only actually had the chance to listen to it when Ilana was on and when Buck is on. And I like the show because it has a nice little rhythm that goes kind of quickly and fun. And I kind of like that. And I like the music.
Well,
as you play.
Thank you. You see, rhythm is good. And much as, I mean, clearly there'll be a series of Buck and Ilana, which we'll be developing as a sort of spin-off show. Kind of like the Laverne and Shirley of the 21st century, but on audio.
Yeah.
I don't think even Ilana's considered that. And probably in the Midweek Drive studio, have you ever heard of Laverne and Shirley?
No.
No, you see, silence amongst the whole thing. It's worth using YouTube from that point of view. J-Ro, how would you define yourself in your role? Is it a psychic? Is it a motivator? Is it coach? Is it all-round wonderful for soul? What's the line?
Well, I call myself a clairvoyant because what I do is I read energy. I read people as energy, and that's what I do when I get together with them, and I help them build an identity themselves as energy and to understand how they manifest as an experience. And so when you do a session with me, you're going to have somewhat of an experience like that, as well as, you know, I'll answer any questions you have, basically offering you a different perspective of stuff that you probably already know. And, you know, I don't like read future time and predictions because I don't really think anybody can really see that accurately, but I can look at it from present time and tell you what might be possible if you decide to go that way.
Plus, of course, there is the Heisenberg uncertainty principle that actually leads to, if you observe the future, you've automatically changed it. But never mind, that's the different line.
That's a very good point. It's an interesting part of the reading, too, is to understand how you're observing things and how are you showing up in your experience. Are you present? What are you doing? And that's my job, is to basically talk to people about that.
And as we know, we are simply spiritual beings on a human experience in so many ways. Claire, thoughts from yourself?
I think that's really interesting because obviously I'm an English student and I do obviously a lot of reading. And I have a massive interest in like how we form our identity. And particularly when we've been looking at like postmodern texts, like nowadays people don't really understand how to identify with themselves. And such as, for example, just using social media as their construct for themselves and their being. So I think it's really interesting like looking at people's own energies and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, I think it is important to have to build an identity that you understand yourself as energy, because then you can enter your experience that you're having as energy. Everything is energy, essentially. And so if you start to identify with it that way, you have like a stepping stone that takes you, hopefully, into other dimensional aspects of your consciousness that you can then apply and bring into your experience and then see where that takes you.
Hannah, last night, of course, we were discussing at length the alternate timeline universe of the Star Trek field with, of course, our wonderful Trek expert Larry Nemechek in Los Angeles.
Yes.
You followed through with that. Thoughts on yourself on this whole field of energies and where we are and what we're going and so on?
Well, I love the idea of, like, different senses and reading energies because it fits in a lot of... Well, I don't want to say, like, you know, fantasy or mythical because obviously it is... You can't say that people...
One person's fantasy, another person's reality. Look at this show. You know, it's amazing. Some people actually think that people don't write the script for us. Unbelievable. You know, it's right in front of me.
Well, I like the things that are different and looking at different stories and stuff like that. It's really interesting to me and it's quite good.
Okay, Mary?
Yeah, I'm a similar line of thought of Claire, actually. I really like thinking about how, like, identity is, like, made and how, like, you can identify with things. So especially in society as well, I think sometimes you can get quite, like, isolated from certain aspects of, like, culture and stuff. So I think it's really cool thinking of yourself as kind of, like, a ball of energy, in a sense, yeah.
And indeed, Mary, your dissertation was indeed focusing on identity,
yes,
I believe.
Yes, it was.
Oh. Excellent. She got a first for that. It's marvellous stuff. Natasha?
No, I find it very fascinating, the whole aspect, especially if it's going to help people. You know, I think that that's great. What kind of process do you go through? Would I literally just come in and sit down and we'll go through some exercises?
No, a lot of my readings are just on the phone or with Skype or FaceTime, those types of things. Or sometimes I just write them out in an email. If I have already a rapport with the person, I do a lot of, they just send me a question and I look at it energetically. I don't necessarily need to have them in the room with me. However, if they are in the room with me, that always, of course, makes for a very special kind of reading because, you know, it's nice to have the person there because it's fun. And basically I go into a light trance and I read usually with my eyes closed. I come in and out of the trance. And I just follow an energy pattern within them because each person is very different. And so when you're reading them, you have to let them take the lead, so to speak. And I read from connection. So I always ask people to please connect with me and let me connect with you. And that is how I get the information. I mean, everybody has different ways of doing it, but that's how it works for me. And so when I do that, I then follow whatever lead they give me, and I just go with it because there's, you know, it's like going into a Cinemax where all the movies are playing at once, and I just really want to read one because it's too distracting for the person. They won't get any real value out of the reading if I go all over the place. So I try to stay on a trend. And then I do then after that, you know, they leave, and then I sit with it for a while. Then I send them an email with a pretty comprehensive follow-up that is, I call it a recap, but really it's another reading. And then from then on, they have a rapport with me. They could send me questions and ask me things. And, you know, we become, like, connected in a way. And I like to maintain the connection because it's fun and the people are interesting. And I learn a lot from them. That's how I learn to read, is by reading.
That makes perfect sense. It's time for this.
This is Rachel Abbott. And when I'm not producing all manner of audio goodness for On Broadcast, I always like to check out the latest news and views of Emma Tinson, Jessica Ward, and other midweek drivettes on the Midweek Drive for Siren FM.
Just think, Emma, that Jessica possibly may not co-present in the same studio with you for some night, if ever. Stop.
So sad.
Emma, as obviously our Surrey correspondent and superhero, thoughts on energy and keeping those energy values going, questions you'd like to share with J-Ro or indeed Buck?
Yeah, I mean, energy is quite an interesting thing. Everyone tries to be in this day and age, we're all like trying to save energy.
Getting energetic there.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. So, like, how do you guys kind of incorporate that into your lifestyles then?
Well, for me, I try, what I do is try to stay as present as possible. That's where I feel I operate the best. And I try to notice if I'm slipping into any pastime unconscious energy patterns where I'm reacting or my behavior seems to be perhaps agitated or I'm not flowing well. I always want to check my flow. I want to make sure there's energy coming in and there's energy going out of my space, as well as the entire experience I'm having, and including the people that I encounter. So everything then becomes an energetic process for me that I'm observing all the time. And when I find myself slipping out of that, I change it. I correct it. I bring myself back into the now because really that's the only place I can heal from or make any changes. I have to be in this moment in order for that to be fully realized. And so that's what I invest my energy into. And I encourage my clients to do that also. And I teach them how to do that, you know, just through example. Like I try to walk my talk, you know, and show up that way.
As I said, it's just a whole new world on that perspective. And as we approach 11, 12 minutes past 9 o'clock in Hawaii, So yeah, obviously still actually in Wednesday time, Wednesday, May the 18th, yes. 2016. We in Britain, of course, May the 19th, 2016. It's very exciting for that line of things. Buck, if we can turn to your good self, we need to find out how are the Cokey Frogs this evening?
Can you hear them?
Oh,
yeah. They're doing fine. It's another nice dark sky, except tonight we've got a moon that's beautiful in the sky and not quite full, but getting there, but another gorgeous evening here. And, you know, one thing I was trying to interject before was that myself and Alana both know J-Ro through his work, and by getting a session done with him, a reading done with him, is how we ended up becoming friends with him. And so so that's kind of an interesting thing. But the other thing I wanted to say is, if you think about just quantum physics and whatnot, you know, we're all just ions and neutrons and all those things floating around each other, which is all just vibration and energy, you know, and that's really what it's all about.
So, a quick question then for J-Ro. If we are actually in that energy place, and we obviously have certain parts of the planet that there are more energy oriented than others, and folk might say, well, yes, it's all very well, these folk talking, connecting Lincoln with Hawaii, but I'm listening to this in Hartlepool. Nothing wrong with Hartlepool, obviously, but it could be a bit of a challenge if you're living in the Northeast. And you think, well, what? Is it a case of the location is vitally important, or is it a case of we ultimately create our own locations?
I think we create our own locations. You're bringing the show with you. So, you know, I can be in London or I can be in L.A., and I'm the same J-Ro show is going to be going on. I prefer to be here only because it's quiet and it's beautiful and peaceful and I have a very easy life. However, you know, when I'm in a more hectic environment, I just pick up that pace, I match it, I try to be, you know, in sync with what's going on there, because I'm there and I want to be a part of that. So I think you're kind of taking the show with you wherever you go. Yeah.
You could have described the Midwick Drive, basically. So you see, Emma and Claire and Mary, you might sort of leave, but the show is still with you.
It's
in our hearts. Well, it's still sorted through. They were having all sorts of you know, Emma's last show, it's still there. You know, it's still there. So you carry it with you for that one. Emma, any other questions or points you'd like to raise?
Yeah, I guess, would you have advice for any other people who are trying to maybe inject more positivity and energy into their lives?
Or get in touch with their spiritual selves, perhaps.
Yeah.
Well, I would probably have to say to, again, do kind of what I do, because it's a daily thing, you know, it's constant maintenance of your space. You can't just like one day wake up and say, I'm not going to deal with it today. I'm going to just be sloppy and react to everything. And, you know, I really don't ever do that, because I know then that I don't want to behave that way. So I'm really, what I do is I watch my behavior and I make sure that I am coming from a conscious perspective and not an unconscious pastime energy pattern that's, in a sense, dictating how my experience will unfold. I want my experience to unfold as a present time reflection of my conscious expression right now. And so I would say, pay attention to the moment, pay attention to the now, look at yourself, observe yourself, and build an identity of yourself as energy. And the way to do that is to just imagine it. Use your imagination and come up with a picture. You're going to slowly start to turn on your clairvoyance. Anybody can read. You don't have to go to a clairvoyant. I try to get my folks to learn how to read themselves so that they can then go out and spread the word themselves through themselves. So, yeah, that's kind of what I would recommend. I mean, some people meditate, some, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, I used to meditate a lot, but at this point in my life, I don't do that much anymore, because I wake up and I hit the floor running.
The joy of conscious evolution. Just one of the areas you can find out about by going to jrohealing.com. See, jrohealing.com.
Yeah.
And I presume that is your good self, J-Ro, with the flowing locks, with the wonderful mantis in the background there.
That is
we
me.
Say. Yeah. You see, that's the magic of the World Wide Web and the internet. You know, who would have thought that Marconi and all those other radio operators kind of had connected with astounding, wonderful. Natasha, any final thoughts from your good self?
No, I think anything that's going to you know, provide positive energy. We're all quite, I don't know, in the UK, we're all quite downcast.
Yeah, I mean, in Britain, as probably uh-huh. know, J-Ro, we like to be negative.
I think we need it.
It's, exactly. It's our way, you know, there's got to be an Eeyore for every Winnie the Pooh.
Well, there really does, and we have them here too, and you know, and I actually like those kind of people because they're interesting to watch energetically. You say, oh, wow, look at that. And then I just interact with them from where I'm at, and, you know, we have an exchange, and it usually is very nice, even though they've got that little bit of a downcast going on. I mean, so what?
Precisely. No, it's time for Emma to put those last two questions to both Buck and J-Ro. Go, Emma.
Yes. Have you both enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me. I wanted to do this for a while because of, mostly for Alana, and then now Buck, of course, I was like, okay, I got to get on there. So thank you so much.
Well, we enjoyed having you. So would you like to come and join us on the program in the future?
Sure, just let me know when, you know, I'm always available for especially energy, talking, and I got all kinds of things I can tell you.
And are you more a kind of evening person? Because obviously, clearly, that's one of the things which Buck has carved out in terms of the evening slot for Thursdays.
Well, you know, this is my midnight, so
yeah.
I had to, like, take a power nap around 7:30 and kind of wake up and come over to Buck's house because he has a landline phone. I don't have one. And, you know, and get... you know, kind of revved up. And now I'm like wide awake. I'm going to be having trouble falling asleep because I'm all excited for talking to you guys. But well, now, whenever it works best for you and your show, in your program,
this is splendid. Well, and if you want to sort of check out the rest of it, of course, we've got 1 hour, 40 minutes of goodness to actually develop. It's just wonderful.
Oh, good.
A round of applause for Buck and J-Ro, please.
Yay. Thank you, guys. Enjoy your day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. To islands in the sun, and the sun too is an island with islands
to CNN, from film criticism to royalty, from South Africa to London, and now to the midweek drive on Siren FM, it's Richard Fitzwilliams.
In so many ways, more like a cosmic dance, really, of a programme. If I might use that in the next sort of batch of jingles, midweek drive, it's more like a cosmic dance than
I
a radio
like
show.
That. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Okay, Richard, cosmic dancer extraordinaire. Sorry, we've just been mind travelling from Hawaii and sorting out our spiritual auras and a whole heap of other goodies.
Spiritual auras.
Yeah. It's all there. And I see yours is looking particularly good this morning. It's very good. Where would you like to take us with the magical Fitzwilliams world?
Well, it's to the magical Richard Linklater world because it's a movie called Everybody Wants Some. Everyone's raving about it. Who's seen it? Now, Linklater is one of my favorite filmmakers because he deals with themes such as the passage of time, the way relationships develop, and so forth, and he does it in a naturalistic way. I mean, this is why I like him so much. These aren't characters, and I sometimes wondered, for example, a Linklater script, is it like a Mike Lee improvisation class? And the answer is absolutely not. They work on what appears to be natural dialogue for months. And movies such as Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, Before Midnight, Boyhood. I mean, that was 11 years. I mean, this is the sort of director we need, and everybody wants some. Set in 1980, the Southeast Texas Cherokees college baseball team have their own home, and it's a question of meeting new teammates for Jake, played by Blake Jenner. He moves into the house, and they've got their baseball coach who introduces them, and subsequently you get a study that's one of those things that it absolutely grips you. There isn't a story as such in this movie, other than you have male characters who enjoy themselves, drink rather a lot, aim to pull as many women as they possibly can, and behave in a way that's, you know, college guys do. But what's fascinating about this movie is the way the characters are developed. I mean, it's hilarious, parts of it, some bits are quite touching. It's just the fact that Linklater's got this knack of making his movies sufficiently natural, though you feel you're watching real people, not something that's been contrived and put together by a Hollywood studio, which in fact fits a certain type of genre and is thrown out there to attract certain people. These are people that you can relate to. You could meet them in the street. You could run into them. I've been absolutely fascinated by this movie. I always am by his films.
Ridiculously fun and deceptively deep is just one of the critical comments that's been there. I must admit, just looking at the trailer, it reminds me slightly of Porky's, but that's probably way before many.
No, it's not at all. Believe me, what Linklater does is, as I say, he's got his central figure, Jake, played by Blake Jenner, and exceptionally likable. And he's the quiet guy at the back of the car. This is quoting the girl, Beverly, who has an eye for him to begin with. So he sees where she lives, and subsequently a relationship develops. It's a gentle film in some ways. Bits of it are funny, bits of it rather attractive. The whole thing is, it's real life, or at least to me it resembles what real life is probably like, and for that type of age group in that situation. Not a great deal happens, but it's a great deal more than just quirky froth. This is something that, you know, as I say, you feel that you're seeing a slice of real life as opposed to something concocted.
Okay, well, as I've often said, it's the quiet person at the back of the car you've always got to look out for. But Emma, from the perspective of the one you've just heard, because clearly you're tucked in a part of the studio, which means you've got no visual input whatsoever from that, right? Real radio. What did you make of Richard's, or indeed Everybody Wants Some?
Yeah, it sounds like quite an interesting concept. I'm not really, you said there wasn't like as such a story or much of a story. I'm normally like to have quite a good narrative, but this one does seem interesting, and I like that you were saying that it does seem very, very real. So I might have a check.
Technically, of course, it's Everybody Wants Some, 2 exclamation marks. Mm-hmm. Not just one. 2 exclamation marks. So critical. Welcome, Sally Wall. How are you? No, Sally Mundy. Lord above, for a moment there, I knew it was going to happen. I confused the legend of Sally Mundy with her public relations counterpart from the Yorkshire show. I know.
Excuse me.
Wrong county,
wrong
show.
Wrong name.
Exactly. Welcome, Sally Mundy. How are you?
I'm very well, thank
Excellent.
You.
So is one of the sort of lines that Jane Southall's constantly coming out with these days is, well, guys, everybody wants some.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we're all really well, thank you. Very busy.
And you're going to be talking today about the upcoming Elton John piece, possibly. Certainly
possibly.
Heaps of stuff on the Linkage Show, which will be featuring at least one of the Midweek Drive-Outs in the studio. Possibly two, but at least one, you know, maybe three even. But, you know, maybe
she's... Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. It's always going to be there. Meanwhile, Richard Fitzwilliams, we're just going around the sort of dinner line here. Claire, everybody wants some.
Completely up my street. It really kind of reminds me of like Wet Hot Summer. I believe that's what it's called, with Amy Poehler in. And I love sort of kind of...
kind of pieces that are set in a certain time and completely emulate that. And I kind of, it reminds me of some sort of like teenage movie, but it's kind of like set in the 70s and it's kind of ringing of that. And yeah, no, I'd absolutely love to see it.
Okay. Oh, no, it is. It's actually 1980, but if I had to...
What the heck? It's before Claire was born in any case, so don't worry about it.
You can see by the hairstyle, for example. But it's these laid-back kids enjoying themselves. But you don't need a strong narrative for this sort of movie. What you need is a script that he always invariably has. And, I mean, Linklater likes certain actors, for example, Judy Delphi and Ethan Hawke so often appear in his movies. And, I mean, I'm just fascinated by the way that he's able, despite, as I say, the fact that they really, really work on the scripts, on the dialogue, which Lee, of course, does the very reverse.
Okay, let's carry on with our Mary Dancy.
Yeah, I'm like her. I really want to see her, actually. It looks good, so...
Oh, you'll love it. Almost all the reviewers have given it 4 or 5 stars.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wow.
Hannah?
Yeah, it does look like one I want to see at some point, because, you know, I like sometimes something different like that.
If only for the hairstyles, really.
Yeah,
good heavens.
You know.
My parents actually looked like that. Natasha?
The trailer looked fabulous. Particularly loved the mattress surfing scene. That looked really, really good fun.
And Natasha knows of what she speaks because she's one of the rare beings who actually uses the nodes as the little white Dalek-type chairs on the University of Lincoln campus are referred to as little racers.
I love them so much.
Up and down. There's all sorts of things. With somebody who presumably has now passed a driving test, has Beth actually succeeded with her? No, never mind. Be more practice on the nodes and all will work out well on that basis. Sally, everybody wants some. Will you be checking it out? Or
well, I walked in the middle of of the piece, so I'm not really in a position to comment, except to say that what I have heard has prompted me to go away and perhaps go and see.
Charming, naturalistic, a movie you'll enjoy, and a period piece that's such fun, but also rather touching too.
Okay, excellent. Richard, what's your next one?
Our Kind of Traitor, Le Carré Territory, directed by Susanna White, and it has a first-class cast. Stellan Skarsgård, Damian Lewis, Ian McGregor, Naomi Harris, and it opens with, you see Carlos Acosta as the performance of the Bolshoi, and you see the gunning down of a family in Russia. It's obviously linked to money laundering, and we find on a holiday... Ewan McGregor plays Peregrine Macepeace. He's a lecturer. His girlfriend, Gail Perkins, is a barrister, played by Naomi Harris. They meet a Russian oligarch, Dima Krasnov, played superbly by Stellan Skarsgård. He chooses somebody he simply doesn't know. Just conveniently, they happen. This is it's very improbable. He and his girlfriend are, in fact, good ethical people, to entrust with a vital message for British intelligence, because the money laundering is in fact linked to several figures in the British establishment. And Damian Lewis, who's in intelligence, risks his job to try and get to the bottom of it. But what the oligarch wants is safe passage for himself and most especially his family to Britain. Difficult when you've got corrosion and indeed treason near the top. So it's one of those movies, I have to say, I was gripped by it. I thought it was extremely good, and it's wonderfully photographed. Remember Anthony Dodd Mantle, who was sublime when he photographed Slumdog Millionaire so well. Here you've got a variety of locations. You've got some fascinating, even floral arrangements, the interiors and so forth. It is a beautiful film to look at. Skarsgård really imbues the role of somebody who has been involved in pretty dodgy business, but he's got force of character, and also he's afraid. He knows he's going to be next on the list, and so is his family, and he wants out. He's excellent, and so is Lewis, as somebody who's hanging on by the literally very, very close scrutiny by those who in the British establishment are interested in establishing a bank from which they will personally profit. It's a really, really good movie. Ewan McGregor, Naomi Harris, also fine support But I have to say, if you find a restaurant, two people who have this ethical aspect to them, you're very, very lucky. The plot is a bit improbable, okay, but having said that, it certainly gripped me, and I think everyone will enjoy this movie if you like this type of film.
Sometimes a chance encounter can change your life forever. Is that true, Sally Monday?
This is pretty... Yes, of course!
Yeah, there we are. Claire?
Well, Le Carré is kind of raking in with the films and the TV shows at the moment, isn't he? I mean, I saw some of The Night Manager.
He's a tinker or a tailor. Yeah. Maybe a soldier or a spy.
Who knows? Yeah, I absolutely adored The Night Manager. And I'm not normally one for kind of spy films and that sort of thing that much, but I feel like it's the sort of thing that I'd go see and really love if I did go see it. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Hannah?
It does look quite intriguing, yeah. The plotline's quite different, I think, to by the sounds of it, to a lot of spy films and other things that I've seen. So I'll take a look.
Your sense of obviously that Russian oligarch's plans to defect, you know, its positions between the Russian mafia, the British Secret Service, honestly, it's like being caught between Bishop Grosseteste and the University of Lincoln. only kidding. Natasha?
I'll watch anything with Ewan McGregor in it.
You'll enjoy his performance, but I mean, in real life, would you really, if you're absolutely desperate, you gaze across the room and you find somebody, would you really be fortunate enough to find a chance encounter someone with his integrity? I do rather doubt it, but don't let's spoil the plot. It's such fun. I mean, it really is gripping. And as I say, if it's photographed as well as this, you do get your money's worth.
Mary Dancy.
Yes, I want to see that as well. Like, I love having like really beautiful imagery in films too, so that sounds right up my street.
And Emma?
Yeah, this sounds like a really, really interesting one, and it sounds like it's got a great cast as well. So definitely.
Oh, yes, and also, I mean, it's interesting. If you look at, I have to make this point, if you look at all the various locations the movie is filmed in, James Bond, please note, you could have all the exotic locations you like, and here you've got a story, even if it isn't entirely credible all the time, Bond could... Note, we're going to get, it seems, and I hope we do, after The Night Manager, such a triumph for Tom Hiddleston, it looks pretty certain to be the next Bond. Could we please have some realism? Sam Mendes, we know, is going to bow out. We don't know who's going to direct it, but what we do know, in my view, is that we ought to have the Casino Royale, Skyfall-type Bond, not the Quantum of Solace Spectre.
Now, are you actually saying that Tom Hiddleston might actually be knocking Ricky Gervais out as the character of James Bond? Outstanding, really. So surely, a shoo-in.
So you've seen the reports this week, and the reports appear to be, well, they've stopped taking odds on it. That's all I can say.
There we are.
I think he'd be an incredible Bond.
He's a very good Loki, of course.
Yeah.
There we are.
Paul was a little less impressive.
Now, I know you've got an issue about Chris Hemsworth. We know your views.
Well, it's not a question of having an issue about it. I've simply got to be frank. He can't act. I would back this up with extra evidence. The oracular proof I'm quoting from Othello. If you saw the film In the Heart of the Sea, I didn't review it because it happened to be a camera. It opened over Christmas and it was so dreadful.
He was very good as the huntsman, you know, that's what we could say, no more. And he is Thor the Thunder God. Don't mess with Thor the Thunder God. That's all I can say.
Well, he tries, I suppose. some people believe that if you've got looks and you're a hunk, you can act. You can't. You can, however, draw in certain clientele to the cinemas, I suppose, so he presumably has a fan base. But having said that, I repeat it. It's got absolutely no ability when it comes... is there any depth of character?
Yeah. Richard, he always speaks very highly of himself, so he tries in so many ways. He's ease back from the sort of the anger. That's the key thing. It's very positive.
Not anger, simply a recitation of the fact.
Yeah. OK, Hannah, would you like to put those last two questions to Richard Fitzwilliams, please?
Yes. Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
Well, yes. I was shocked we didn't get to the opening of Parliament. And a speech like that is meaty. Is that there's so many?
I know.
I mean, it is fantastic to see colourful, ceremonial like that, and I have to make that point. But having said that, I mean, I've never heard a Queen's speech that, well, had less in it.
Yeah, OK, well, we'll keep the political sort of views a little bit away from that point of view. Otherwise, we'll be having the Queen's speech as delivered by Chris Hemsworth in future years.
No, but in fact, that could be quite interesting. It could bring everyone's attention that not only can he not act, but also his voice is probably lacking in the modulation.
Fine, OK. I get a feeling there's not a lot of love for Chris Hemsworth and the Fitzwilliam household somehow.
Here is a question for you, if I may. What do you think of him?
As I said, he's very good as Thor the Thunder God. I think he's competent in his own routine. And at the end of the day, I still would put him ahead of Jean-Claude Van Damme. But there we are. The muscles from Brussels, in case you're wondering. I mean, sadly, you must remember.
No, I knew. The thing is with Hemsworth is that he shouldn't be appearing in serious movies.
OK, you've made your point. You know, don't blame Chris. It's his agent. OK? Next one.
Will he be joining us again soon?
No, yes, I do hope so.
So do we, if Chris Hemsworth doesn't get upset.
Journalist, TV producer, novelist, and 21st century Newcastle man. It's Ian Lennox.
Yes, Ian. One day, Sally Monday will have her own jingle as well.
Will
I? I think so, Sally.
That's
I think you're reaching that
it.
Stage. You're reaching
wow.
that stage.
I can assure you, you'll walk down the street with pride.
See, that's the whole sort of setup. It will definitely happen. So the big question we need to find out initially, Ian, is how are Ollie and Obo?
Oh, they're having their breakfast at this moment. In fact, I missed most of that record that you played there because I was feeding them.
It's quite all right.
Anyway, they're quite
so
cheerful.
So, here in the joys of Lincoln... Well, by the way, what are you feeding your cats these days? What's that sort
cat
of...
Cat food, funny enough.
Yeah.
Find it
so
coming up to 8:45, quarter to nine here on Siren FM, and breaking news, Ian Lennox is actually feeding his cats cat food. Thank you, Ian. Good stuff.
I hope this doesn't make the papers.
After what we've just been saying about Chris Hemsworth, I say we, obviously, we are in the studio. I think we took a good balance on that basis. It's Richard Fitzwilliams who sort of has the axe to grind, or should that be mallet? Moving on, the exciting thing about the Lincolnshire Showground website is there's so much good things on there, Sally. I just can't believe this. And you know the ongoing campaign, I mean, when Jane was with us last month, I was saying, how can Ian Lennox be persuaded to leave his Newcastle abode? You know, maybe come down with the cats, but actually make that 180-mile journey.
It would be worth
south.
It.
Yeah.
Is it 180 miles in New South
Wales? Well, I'm calculating.
I'll do a good walk.
I'm calculating on the basis that door to door from my Middlesbrough base to Lincoln Showgrounds is 126 miles.
It's 82 from Harrogate.
There you are, Cap. Exactly.
126 miles. That's a lot of doors.
It's worth it, though, Ian.
Yes.
Exactly. Honestly.
Not least of which, on the 22nd and 23rd of June, we have the Lincolnshire Show.
The Lincolnshire Show, 34 days to go, not that I'm counting. Promises to be bigger and better than ever. Really, really exciting. We've got Dancing Diggers in the main ring this year. We've got Broke FMX, which is a motorbike stunt display team, who are really exciting to watch. We've got a Shetland Pony Grand National.
Quite literally, the show has evolved into a one-stop event for families, schools and couples looking for a fun, educational and entertaining day celebrating all that's great about Lincolnshire.
Your words or ours here? really is something for everyone. It's fantastic. It's the show opens 8 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock at night, and there is 10 hours of non-stop fun and entertainment and education as well. Lots to learn about.
And it's now in its 132nd year.
132nd years. I look well on it, don't I?
Almost as young as Ian Lennox. It's amazing. Now he's still in a joyous mood because, of course, Newcastle United had a cracking 5-1 win against Tottenham on Sunday, right. I should say, proving that actually if they could have been bothered to do anything during the season, they could have actually done a lot better than being relegated.
Yeah,
never
to put
mind.
Them in the title. Yes. Or done the Leicester, as we now say.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Well, they probably will do that. It's just a different league championship. Moving on.
Yes, they'll definitely win the title next year, do
it? There we are. Sort of
the right division.
I know. All right, let's move. Let's let it lie, Ian. Let's put it into a different context. Sally.
Yes.
Tragic news from part of the Midrick Drive. Due to various meetings, etc., I'll probably only be out there for the Thursday.
I can't believe it.
I know.
I can't believe it.
But I'll hopefully be there for the preview on the Tuesday as well as the Thursday.
Excellent. Yeah,
all's good from that.
Hopefully you'll have a team there on the Wednesday, though, will you?
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Although it has been said that they've been dropping like flies as well. No, we'll be there. Ed Wellman should be around.
Okay, excellent.
So he should be sorting that out. And hopefully Sue Royce and family will be there as well.
Brilliant.
A few things. But I think Natasha will be joining us on the Thursday.
Absolutely. As long as I can get it off work, I should be able to.
From Newark to Nottingham, it's a critical side of things. And indeed, Newark to Lincolnshire, as well as Nottingham. It's very good. Sally, you mentioned some of the highlights that are actually part of this fabulous Lincolnshire show. Tickets available. I can't believe it. I mean, you've got definitely, but adults to advanced tickets, £19.
Mm.
Children, 5 to 16 year olds, £6 for children. And family advanced tickets, that's 2 adults and up to 3 children, £40.
Yeah, absolutely. So massive savings to be made, and you know, advanced tickets are available from our website and lots of outlets throughout Lincolnshire, so all the Lincolnshire Co-op stores and that sort of thing. So there's a lot to, you know, there's massive savings to be made for buying in advance.
Claire, you might be working.
I probably will be working, but if I can come down, I will. I mean, I'm meant to be coming down in the last couple of weeks of June to hand my keys in and that sort of thing, so I might have to wangle it off.
I think that's essential. Let's face it, Betty's of Harrogate needs to spread their ambassadresses across the whole of the
Lincoln.
Snow. Exactly. So you could be saying, I'm there not because I want to have an enjoyable, you know, it will be enjoyable.
I could be there as like the Betty's
ambassador.
Representative, yeah.
Delivering cakes to the show team
definitely,
in Lincoln.
Definitely.
Let's face it, those greedy rascals.
Fat rascals.
Fat rascals,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's essential. It's the one thing that maybe Yorkshire has slightly ahead of Lincolnshire.
Oh, yeah. Yorkshire.
And Emma Tinson, of course, a veteran of so many delightful showground events, but
so
as yet not to attend the Lincolnshire show.
I know, I should hopefully be able to come this year, though.
There you
really
are.
Fantastic.
So you see, Sally, it's manifesting.
Yeah.
Whether Hannah can actually come up from Harwich, I don't know. And Mary, well, once she gets back to London, it's the rest of the world doesn't exist. So you know, who knows what could happen on that sort of basis. Ian, have you got any questions you'd like to put to Sally about the show, or indeed the rest of the team now that they're kind of into almost the D-mob happy sense of just one or two more exams to go? It's all
Oh, they're in the final year, are they?
Well, some are, some aren't, you know.
Right.
Hannah, bless her, is just wrapping up her first year.
Yeah, she's so young.
I'm just a
baby in the
group. Natasha easing her way.
It's
from
the only one you enjoy.
Natasha's easing her way from level 2 to level 3. Hopefully begin to psych herself up for who's going to be supervising her dissertation. It's the same as you had, Emma. I mean, I don't know what could happen there. It's a disaster, but, you know. So that's the line from that. Claire, of course, is about to graduate.
Yeah, me and Mary finished on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And it's very bizarre to wake up in the morning and not think I need to study.
But
it's very weird.
Study is a lifelong process, Claire.
Exactly. And I mean, I start my master's in September, hopefully. So I'm going to have to get on the reading lists again very soon.
Yeah, precisely. So think of it as a mini hiatus as you sort of move through that process. And Emma, of course, again, also. Has it all more or less wrapped now, Emma?
Yeah, well, I finished my degree last week and then I had my last NCTJ exam yesterday, which is terrifying.
It's done.
That's sort of magic. And Sally, of course, is just the guru of one moment at the...
My student days are well in the past.
Really? Life is a learning process.
Exactly. I find that so strange. Sally, you'd be delighted to know that the period that Ian lives for has now reached us, which is where we get a chance to have a reprise of last night's Cameron Tilbury musical choice and selection. I was all right. I think, yes. Hannah, what did you make of it last night? I mean, you can tell the truth now, obviously, in terms of the sort of...
No, I did enjoy it. I know I said at the time, it's one of those ones you want to imagine him standing in the rain, singing along.
Standing in the rain.
Unfortunately, it's not raining today, so I hope it doesn't bring the rain.
It could be interesting.
Which will be a bit sad if it does.
And as I said, I wasn't sure whether we were talking about, you know, a different kind of rainmaker. It's Daryl Worley singing Rainmaker. Are you set for this, Ian Lennox?
Can't wait.
In the air tonight, must be a dark cloud rising. It's gonna be a hold on tight, bad weather's on the way. Earthshaker, cause girl, I know what turned you on. You love the sound of the rain on the roof and the rage of the wind and the storm. Girl, you're my storm chaser.
Ian, do you know how long it is before the Lincolnshire show actually opens this year?
74 days, I'm not counting.
No, so 33 days, 15 hours, 2 minutes and 31 seconds.
Oh, it would be late then, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
Two days, though, so you'd make it. Still time.
Very good. Yeah, it's critical because the clock is ticking, as we say, for the Lincolnshire show 2016. But what about Rainmaker and Daryl Worley? What did you make of it, Ian Lennox?
It's just not my sort of music, I don't think, really.
I think that's fair enough. He was too moody, I feel, in the whole sort of
I find myself in a room where people are talking exactly when I wouldn't say shut it, I wouldn't listen to it.
That's very true. And in fact, nobody did.
Whereas when you're talking, Alex, I do listen to
it. Yes. And not one of them would drive to him and say, shh, I want to listen to this. They could put their headphones on, I suppose. Maybe we could actually get Daryl together with Chris Hemsworth to sing a duet in praise for Richard Fitzwilliams.
I would listen to that.
Exactly. It's way forward. I actually spent the time usefully actually posting the photograph of the Midweek Drive team and indeed tagging Claire, Mary and Emma already in terms of the sequence, basically. So,
on the Facebook?
Yeah, it's all there. You can look at it now, actually. It's there, and you go to the facebook.com page /SouthSideBroadcasting, and you can see it there. There we are. See?
Right.
So, yes, you see, Sally. That is you, I know.
Scary. Scary. So early in the morning.
We were saying the morning photos always look 10 times
worse
in the evening.
Can you just airbrush a bit, Alex?
There's evening. Okay, so yesterday evening doing the sort of sequence.
Yeah, you see, it's
there,
completely
the sort of
different.
Sequence there. Yeah. Sort of the areas there. And evening again. Oh, we're sort of moved from that. And of course, morning. It's obviously very good visual techniques for radio. Morning there.
There's a difference.
The
slightly
morning
softer
light
focus.
Is very hard.
Yeah.
I'd rather do a slightly soft focus, but never mind. Okay, coming up in the next hour of the programme, we'll be finding out why Brits cannot bear to be parted from their mobile phones. Can you, Ian? Can you actually bear to be parted from your mobile phone?
Oh, yes, I don't like them at all, really.
All right, okay.
I get irritated by people sitting in pubs, not talking to each other, talking to people on mobile phones.
Constantly working out, yeah, exactly. Well, it is a major issue, and Paul Horlock, the head of the head of payments at the Nationwide Building Society, is going to be talking about how clearly this is impacting on our lives and a whole heap of other factors from that point of view. So, interesting. And I think. What about yourself, Sally? Are you a mobile phone girl? Do you think it's essential? Without your mobile phone, your life would cease to be.
No. Absolutely not. But I think that's maybe it's a generation thing. You know, I have got a mobile phone, but I use it to make calls and to text. I don't use it for anything else. I haven't got a huge amount of apps on my phone.
Don't do face,
or anything
do you?
Like
don't
that.
Do face. 99% of Brits would not leave their phone at home. And if they did, they would not hesitate to return home to collect their beloved device.
No, I've left my phone at home when I've set off for work and I've lived without it for the day. And I'm still here to tell the tale. And nobody's been injured in the process. Yeah.
Good for you.
Over a third of Brits are actually using their mobile phones to make payments. So great news for cyber criminals then. Mm-hmm. Only kidding. I'm sure it's all safe and secure. But
my dad gets very excited. He's recently got an iPhone with work, and he now pays for everything with Apple Pay, and he gets so excited when he does it. Yeah. And he's like, look, it just works like this. Oh my God. Yeah. I'm like, this is the man who absolutely shouted at my mum for using her phone all the time, and now he's just addicted.
There we are, a little insight into the Margerison household.
The converts are the worst, aren't they?
Yes.
Very, very true. Emma, I mean, thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I mean, I use my phone a lot, but normally because I'm like constantly getting emails, and it's just, I'm not always sat at a computer.
You're in such demand,
so
such demand, you said.
I'm so popular.
Constantly,
so yeah, it's good to like check my emails on there, then obviously calls and texts. But I'm not like some people like play games on their phone all the time. I don't have time to do that.
Mary,
I think in about 30 years' time, no one will talk to anybody.
Yeah. Well, that's why we have this radio show. Actually, Mary, it's time for you to ask Ian those last two questions. Go, Mary.
Okay. Have you had a good telephonic link with us today?
I had a lovely time. Thank you.
Good, and will you be joining us again next week?
I do hope so.
There we are, you see. Brilliant. Ian Lennox as ever. We'll persuade him, Sally, to actually come down to Lincoln, I'm sure. He'll arrive in full
one
state.
Of these, one yeah. Of, I've been coming, speaking to you regularly
exactly,
now, Alex,
exactly.
And it is
yeah,
my mission.
It is, let's get Ian Lennox
to Lincoln.
Sure,
yeah.
Exactly.
It's quick silence.
Yeah, it will happen. Have a great day,
my
Ian.
My cats are looking extremely alarmed at all
the The latest news and sport on Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station.